You are listening to the Alouettes Flight Deck, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
All right, folks, we've been cleared for takeoff.
Give me a hell, give me a yell. Stand up right now and give me a hell, give me a yell. Stand up right now, get ready to go. She ain't moving slow, she's taking control. Pushing the pedal through the floor. I'm begging for more, you better hold on tight.
Hey, welcome to the Alouettes Flight Deck, a podcast dedicated to Montreal Alouettes. I'm Tim Capper, along with Cliffy D. How are you, sir?
Oh, doing fantastic. Nothing like that first win of the season to really get the good vibes going. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, I didn't see you. I didn't know you and I were tweeting back and forth. Where were you sitting? Because, you know, even though it was just over 20,000, I thought there was going to be more. We can talk about that, too. I was a little bit disappointed with that, but I kind of understand why. But anyway, where were you sitting?
Oh, I was actually in the on the opposite side. I know normally we're together in Y1, but I decided to see how the other half lived. It kind of worked out perfectly because I was actually invited onto the radio in Saskatchewan. So for me to be able to do a quick radio hit, it was actually a little bit easier to be on the south side or the north side of the stadium. So I decided to check it out. And I got to say, I'm pretty happy where I am. With you in Y1. So, you know, it's kind of neat. Just like I said, see how the other half live. But I think I know where I want to be now.
Well, I was about to say, because we were there, I did bathe. I did have on deodorant and I had changed clothes. So I was just wondering, I didn't know if it was a stinky thing or, hey, I think maybe it was you. You bathed, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. That's good. Well, I guess at least we could say at least we still kicked your ass in the noise competition. But then again, I think it's probably fixed anyway. So, I mean, it's like, you know, kicking one side or the next or whatever. Yeah.
It's wherever they decide to put the microphones, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Now, they did say that the league announced that the game itself was the highest watched CFL opener since, what was it?
2013?
Huh?
Since 2013.
Since 2013. And obviously, I can't remember. Do those usually include RDS numbers?
I have to think they do, quite frankly, because I mean, it's all still part of the same company, if I'm not mistaken. So I have a feeling those are included as well.
Okay, maybe the league does. Yeah, I think the league does merge it together when they talk about that type of stuff. But, you know, to be fair, I don't think it was just because of the Owls. I think it was a combination of more or less, because we know Saskatchewan Rough Rider. You fans will watch anything that's associated with the Green Riders. You will vote for anything that, you know, up for that's included, you know, that's has to do with the Green Riders. And obviously this was a return match of sorts when it comes to Darren Durant versus his former team. So I can understand why they were so high. I can understand. I mean, it was only a holiday weekend here in Quebec because it was Saint-Jean-Baptiste weekend.
Yeah, so you figure, you take all that into consideration. I mean, I know you said you were a little disappointed to only see 20,000 in the stands, but when you think about the fact that it's a Thursday night, it's a holiday, it's the start of a long weekend the next day, I think all things considered, I say that's about where you'd want it to be, especially since there's been so much change and upheaval now with the team that I guess there's still a lot of people that are still a little trepidatious about going ahead and making that full commitment to going to a game. And I'm really hoping that based on how the game finished, that a lot of people are going to say, you know what? Yeah, I definitely got to see more of that. So hopefully they'll buy more tickets for the next couple of games and get the stadium packed, folks.
Well, the problem is, though, too, I mean, you bring up the Thursday effect. That doesn't mean squat to me. You know that. Because unfortunately, when it comes to Thursday games, whether maybe it's a scheduling thing, which I don't really think it is, because we do have at least one Friday game. You know, the Alouettes seem to be the redheaded stepchild when it comes to Thursday games, at least since 1996. I mean, it's ludicrous how many Thursday games that we have. I mean, whether the Owls want to call it a tradition, blah, blah, blah. I've never been a fan of Thursday games. You know, I'm only lucky enough because I'm able to, I usually get this, you know, because during the summer where I work is off on Fridays, that it usually works out to, you know, to the best for me. But I'm not a fan of Thursday games. I really am not. But I agree with you on that point, by the way. For Saint-Jean, it's usually death. Having something right before or on Saint-Jean is usually death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess they can say it's like certain days, too, I guess, with the Argos and their country house season. Or, you know, they got to travel a lot farther. You know, we're only an hour away from the Laurentians, so it's, yeah. But still, you know, I guess, you know, Ticketmaster kind of lied. You know, it didn't seem like that it was going to be as quote-unquote small as I thought it was. You know, there's nothing we can do, right?
Nothing we do. It is what it is, and you may as well just enjoy the games as best you can, whether you watch them on TV or live at the stadium, which, again, is always going to be the much better option, to come on out to the stadium and just fill it, because to me, that's what makes it summer. It's, to me, not officially summer until one of two things happen. One, the Montreal Alouettes kick off officially their season, and two, some ill-informed Canadian decides to bag on the CFL for being the CFL. So once I see those two things, then I know summer has officially arrived here in Montreal.
I don't know if we should woo-hoo about that or not. The attendance is actually down slightly over the past 2 years. The past 2 years prior, it was about 21.5, and this year we just got over 20K. So I know, but it's funny. There's a big story in the where was it? It was in the Globe and Mail or something like that. They're talking about how teams are trying to draw in fans and stuff like that, because, you know, sporting events now are slightly different than the way they are years back. You know, there's more TV, there's more stuff online, there's more et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You need a reason for them to come in, you know, for the fans to come in and actually watch the game live. You know, I mean, to be fair, if it had been the Alouettes itself, would you have been drawn in by the University of Laval Rougeor being there to congratulate them? And I want to say Cirque du Soleil. They're not Cirque du Soleil. I don't remember the name of them. The group that was brought in to celebrate, Montreal's 375.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah, I never go to football games for the halftime show, so I'm really the worst person to ask when it comes to that. Like, I just want to go and see good competitive football, regardless of what level it's at and who all is playing. So if I'm going to commit to actually going and buying an actual ticket to a football game, I'm there for that. But not everybody else is. Some people need that little side entertainment as well, and it is what it is.
Yeah, yeah, I'll give you that one. It's, you know, but to me, I get it. I thought it was a little bit underwhelming. I was kind of, again, I was disappointed. So, you know, that's what it is. And by the way, I just have to at least point this out. Since 1996, the Alouettes have had a grand total of 58 Thursday home games. And that was before the TSN. And that does not, I don't remember when the TSN contract first started, but that's a lot of home games.
That is a lot of home games.
On Thursdays. Mm-hmm. So. Anyways, a lot to talk about this week. First and foremost, we're a little bit of a teaser. We are proud to say that we have partnered with a local manufacturer. I'm trying to be very secretive about this, as you can tell. we are proud to be a partner, and they will, as of next week, we will have a new presenting partner for the Alouettes flight deck. So we will talk about it more obviously next week, but we just want to get all the P's and Q's finalized, and once it does come to fruition, we will make sure that obviously you, the fans here in Montreal and across the country and across the world, know who we are proud to have as a part of the Flight Deck family. So we're always looking for more, by the way.
That's it. I mean, you talk about how big the Canadian Football Podcast Network is getting. It's growing by leaps and bounds. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, if you're a local business here in Montreal or anywhere, really, I mean, we do not what's that word I'm looking for? Oh, crap.
But discriminate?
Discriminate. Thank you. Oh, my word. See, that's how much we don't discriminate. I don't even know what that word means. But yes, if you're definitely looking for any sort of opportunity to promote your business, whether it be here in Montreal or abroad, definitely hit us up and let's talk. We're open for business.
Email us at alouettespodcast@gmail.com, and we'll be more than happy to get back to you.
Now, let's talk about this game.
Yeah, let's talk about the game. One thing we want to talk about it first, because it is CFL related, and this is our last show per se before Canada 150, And I know we're going to have the game coming up, so we can talk about that too. But we just want to talk about, because it is CFO related, is that the CFL is going to be, they just announced the other day that they're going to be celebrating Canada 150. They've already started doing it, I think, but they have the Canada 150 stickers on the back of the helmets already. But they're going to be doing some special things in the three games that are going to be, the four games that are going to be played this weekend, which include, first and foremost, I think, celebrating famous Canadians. They are going to have, is it T-shirts made up in every market?
They've already been made up, and they will be for sale. And I believe they're also going to be sold on the CFL website as well.
Nice, nice. I was actually looking for them. And for Montreal, it's going to be Peter Dellarriva.
The legendary Peter Dellarriva.
Good choice. Good choice. There are quite a few for all the other teams across the country. I don't have the list up in front of me. Off the top of your head, do you remember what some of the others are? I don't have it in front of me.
Well, there's quite a few legends. You're talking about guys like Normie Kwong, Mike Clemens, yeah. Louis Pisaglia, Sugarfoot Anderson, the late great Sugarfoot Anderson. Unfortunately, I don't remember who's Ottawa's.
There's George Reed.
Yep. I also believe Doug Brown is also one of the ones for Winnipeg. So there's definitely quite a few legendary Canadians and also legendary Canadian football players as well that are going to be represented with this set. So it's a very cool way to not only celebrate the league, the Canadian Football League, but also celebrating this great nation of ours.
That's right. And also, one of the few things that I actually questioned is that the referees themselves are going to have a commemorative uniform that they're going to be wearing. I guess on the top they'll be wearing it. It's going to be just more than just the normal black and white, but it's also going to be black, white, and red with these three stripes going down the front. I guess it's going to alternate between. It's going to go black, white, red, white, red, white, black. I think it's what it was.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me of
the Canada 150 logo on the arm, and I think that was it, right?
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting look. If you head over to CFL.ca, you can definitely see a couple photos of it. I gotta say, it's gonna be. It looks really hilarious to see right now. I'm just dying to see guys like Al Bradbury and André Prou rock these uniforms. It's gonna be quite the treat.
treat is an understatement. As I said, I don't like them. They remind me of. Actually, like a cross between the old American Football League's uniforms. I think those were orange, I think, that they had, and a cross between what we know and love today. So, yeah. But on top of that, a commemorative football, which is going to have the CFL 150 logo. Canada 150 logo on it. And it is also going to have, instead of the regular white laces, it's going to have red laces. Now we have reached out to the league to see if we can get one of those commemorative Canada 150 footballs to give away for everybody here on the flight deck. We are waiting to hear back. But what I'm understanding is that they've had a lot of requests, and they kind of didn't think that these would be as popular as they became. So we will let you know going forward. But I just don't. I would think you would have thought that you would have played these for the entire game, but they're only going to have them for specific times during the game, right, Cliff?
Mm-hmm. It's my understanding that apparently they're going to be naturally used for kickoff, but aside from that, it's just going to be more or less like practice balls.
Yeah, but I use them during the game, man. I mean, it's. Maybe that's why they misjudged the popularity of them.
Yeah.
Because they didn't make as many as they thought they were going to need to. So, but yeah, obviously the schedule starts on Thursday with another Grey Cup rematch. And maybe somebody will win this time around because they're not in Ottawa. Yeah. Check it out if you happen to be watching in the United States on ESPN, on the ESPN family. You'll be able to see them then. Or if you're watching it across the world on the other networks that are being streamed by the CFL. I hope you enjoy the games. Go Canada! Before we talk about the game itself, there's one thing we have to talk about. And I kind of called this one. A couple days before it was actually announced, I think the team had been promoting it anyways, that there was going to be a flyby right before the game by a Canadian CF-18, by the Canadian Air Force CF-18. And I said, you know what? I said on Twitter over at my account at Repact, REPPACT, that we are going to hear, I was scared because I was startled and I didn't know about these things and blah, 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 blah. Sure enough, flyby. Not once, but twice. The second one was a lot better, by the way.
It was so much better. And let me tell you,
because the first one, by the way, the first one, first, it cut into the Canadian national anthem.
Yeah, well, you know, because Lord knows Canadians can't seem to do anything right, right?
I was like, where are your air brakes, dude? You know, you're only coming in at a certain high speed. Anyways, go ahead. What were you saying?
Like I said, there's just something about that flyover that gets me so hyped. That's why I love the military appreciation games. And especially, like, I was excited when they said they were going to do this for the opening kickoff. I mean, again, let's not forget, the Montreal Alouettes were named, they're not just after a bird. They were named after the 425 Squadron of the Royal Canadian Air Force, mm-hmm. one of the most highly decorated Air Force squadrons in the Canadian Armed Forces. So doing a flyby is, I just can't think of a much better tribute for this Alouettes team than to actually, which, and this is why we call ourselves the Flight Deck, mm-hmm. because we appreciate and love the history behind the Alouettes name. So to do a flyover, not once but twice like that, absolutely outstanding. I love it. I love it.
It's like when they do it for the Grey Cup. I know I've only had experienced it. Actually, only times I've experienced, I haven't really experienced it, because we've been indoors. So I've actually missed it when they do the flybys outside. But that's the best of all. When you do the flybys outside, can't beat it. Cannot beat it whatsoever. But anyways, people complained as per usual.
Yeah, there's a little bit of pearl clutching going on, as is often the case when these things are supposedly not announced, but they were announced, but people just don't pay attention. Well,
exactly. You know, we may not be announced. It may, whether it was in the Gazette, whether it was on CJAD, whether it was on TSN 690, which is the Alouettes, you know, official broadcaster, or was on the Alouettes website. It was there, and it was put out in French and English press because it was done specifically by the Canadian Armed Forces. So hearing some of these stories are hilarious. You know, I mean, it's like, come on. When is the only time that it has happened? We don't have any air shows here in Montreal. So it's usually a sporting event of some sort. You know, hearing some of these stories, which are just laughable, you know, I don't want to make fun of them, but come on. I don't want to make fun of them. It's just like, come on. It's going to be like this every year, Cliff.
Yeah, it pretty much is.
So, yeah, there's that.
Maybe we should just go play all of our games over at the Air Force Base. What do you say to that?
Then the crowds would be even worse.
Could they be any worse than what was going on at BMO Field this past Sunday?
Yeah. What happened over at BMO Field for their preseason game?
Oh, that's fair point. Yikes.
Could be how the Owls drew their second year at the Big O before they were bought.
Yeah, that's one chapter of history we tend to overlook with good reason.
Yeah, but either way, the flyby and the way it made you feel, you know, all tingly inside and all amped up, and then we get to the game and it sucked. It's
boring. It was boring football. My word. It's not even like you say because of the low score. It was a great defensive tilt. No, it wasn't. It was boring. Like neither offense really clicked. Like that first quarter. My God. I wish I could throw it away and forget it ever existed. It was just nothing doing. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, like, again, 0-0 score at the end of the first means one of two things. One, a great defensive tilt, or two, an absolute suck fest on offense. And that's quite frankly what was going on.
But you forgot something else. Or your kicker misses a field goal.
Well, listen, that's going to happen sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And it almost cost us the game. Well, no, that was the refs.
What?
No, sorry. That was the command central. Replay command central. Which we'll talk about. Overall, though, looking at what we had to go on, overall with the team, I understand that, you know what, maybe they need a little bit more time to gel. I think, is it fair to say, I'm just trying to think of the other teams in the CFL that we had next to Toronto. Actually, Toronto had quite a bit too. But I think we had, I think, quite a bit of the most turnover over the offseason, especially in, you know, offensive personnel.
Yeah, I'd say that's a fair assessment. I mean, again, with Kavis Reed taking over and wanting to put his own imprint on this team, a lot of moves were made to bolster the offense, and that did mean a fair bit of turnaround there. So, I mean, every team goes through turnaround for sure, but yeah, I'd say Montreal and Toronto would be up there as far as the two teams that really had to sort of change face, if you will.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there were some good plays. I mean, there were some bad plays. I mean, it's the first score didn't come until the until 10:25 of the second quarter, when a beautiful, beautiful catch and run by BJ Cunningham, 65 yards, touchdown.
I keep telling you all about BJ Cunningham. I'm telling you, like,
well, I told you last week, we're basically switching one guy with initials for another guy with initials.
Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, yeah, SJ Green, mad love for SJ Green,
yes,
always,
yes,
especially this past Sunday.
Dear Lord, yes.
Oh, didn't look out of step whatsoever. No. And I can understand why LOS fans would be like, see, why did we trade him? Where did we trade him? Okay, fine. Yeah, he had a fantastic game. I'll give him all the credit in the world for that. But I'm telling you right now, BJ Cunningham is the real deal. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind. I mean, and you just saw a little bit of that once again this past Thursday against Saskatchewan. Beautiful catch and run, 65 yards, takes it to the house. Just absolutely, absolutely beautiful.
Right. Yeah, no, I yeah. It was a phenomenal play. And coming home and watching it again on replay, which is absolutely outstanding. You know, that's finally when the things got, you know, things were so-so in the first half. You know, the really, if we can say, the quote-unquote exciting part was the second half. But we almost got out of the first, without controversy until there was a little bit of controversy.
Uh-huh.
And it was, as I made throwing the shade a little bit earlier, had to do with Command Central. How can we describe this? Set this thing up.
Well, again, Montreal is up 7-0. Kevin Glenn, former Alouettes quarterback, finds Mecari Grant for a 19-yard catch. He takes it to the house, or does he? Because our man Travis Hawkins runs right up, and literally before the ball crosses breaks the plane of the goal line, Hawkins ripped it right out of Bakari Grant's hands and recovered the ball in the end zone. That should have been it right there. Change of possession. But no, the referees rule it a touchdown. Naturally, Coach Chapdelaine decides to challenge that, even though all scoring replays are under review anyways. And lo and behold, the CFL Command Center takes a good long look at it because they want to get this call right, or so we think. And this, again, they showed it on the screen, the big screen at Olympic Bolton Stadium. The fans at home were watching. I was checking out Twitter, and people were like, "That's not a touchdown. That's not a touchdown." Even Riders fans were saying, "I'm sorry, that's not a touchdown." And what does the CFL Command Center do? They award a touchdown to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. And naturally, everybody's upset. Everybody's pissed. And who could blame them? Of course, Alouettes fans are going to be upset because we just got scored on. But again, a sober second thought, you take a look at it again, and there's actually a great GIF of it on Tim's Twitter account. Again, you can see clear as day, the ball is out before Bakari Grant crosses the line.
It's obvious. It's obvious.
I mean, a great defensive play, and you done f***ed up CFL Command Center.
Yes.
That's the only way to describe it. It's clear as day, but you know what? They're consistent, if nothing else, because the Calgary-Ottawa game, there was not one, not two. I believe there's three instances where the Command Center, clear as day what the play was, and they still screwed it up.
Well,
so,
I think for one of them, for that game, I think there really was one that was really, really bad, a really, really bad call that they missed.
The point is, at the end of the day, though, like, the whole idea of a video replay is to eliminate the human error. I mean, I can make a mistake. You can make a mistake. People in the crowd can make a mistake. The players on the field, everybody can make a mistake. But the one thing that they always say, and shout out to my man, David Sanchez here. One thing he always says is men lie, women lie, children lie, film don't lie. And that's supposed to be the idea of video replay. It's right there. Pictures don't lie. And yet what happens? They just award it to whatever. They just seem to make up calls as they go along to benefit whomever. I don't know what they're thinking of when they do that. But I mean, it's again, I could go on and on about this, but it's like I say, just take a look at the evidence. It is very clear that Bakari Grant did not cross the plane. He did not break the plane. He did not cross the goal line before that ball came loose.
And what,
simple as that.
And what made it even worse is if when Farhan Lalji was speaking with Glenn Johnson, who is the head of referees, basically he said to him that those calls, they weren't bad enough, outstanding, or the word that they were using.
Egregious.
Specifically egregious. Was egregious.
Egregious.
You know what? You know what rhymes with egregious? Outrageous. I know it's a stretch. But still, you know, he goes, in a minute and a half, we want to make these discussions in an effort to speed up replay, not slow down the pace of the game. Those calls did not meet the standard for obvious egregious mistakes, and we're just not going to overturn those types of calls. Excuse me? Wait. That's going to be something people around the league are going to have to get used to. Excuse me? What is the point of replay if you are not going to call it? And let me make my point clear. As Rule 10 under replay, Section 1 of the CFL rulebook states, Section 1, Overview of Instant Replay. The purpose of instant replay is to correct rulings where there is indisputable visual evidence that an incorrect call has been made on the field. Period. Point blank. That I don't need to go through the rest of the things that are listed in that part of replay. That it's a joke. If you're going to say this garbage, you know, I'm sorry. If you have it written, follow it. If not, change it or remove it completely.
Exactly. I couldn't have put it any better myself.
Because it was an obvious call. Obvious. If so many people are complaining about it, it's obvious. You know, when you're making, you know, why do they do this in the NBA? You know, when they want to judge if somebody was behind a 3-point line or if they weren't, or if it was if the foul was intentional or not intentional. Why do they do it in Major League Baseball to determine if a ball actually was foul or fair, or if a guy made it into second base or before the tag or not? If you got saying that this stuff really doesn't matter, we just got to get used to it, it's ridiculous. And I'm going to give a call, and even in the Arena Football League, they get it wrong. The Arena Football League, by the way, if you haven't ever watched a game, to me, is one of the most transparent when it comes to how replay is done. You actually get to listen in to the referees talking to the production truck as they are going over the call. And for some of those, they don't get it right. Even if something so transparent, at least you get to hear what he's saying, what the referee is saying. I'm sorry. Get it right. The rules are written as they are. It's not, you know, it's not like you can say that, and this has happened here in Montreal. I'm sure you'll remember this one, Cliff. For the STM, at one time they were asking, well, why are all these buses late? And you had some asshat come out and say from the company, oh, well, those schedules, those are just suggestions on what time that the buses are going to be getting there. I'm like, excuse me, what? Then what's the point of having them?
Yeah, just show up whenever and we'll come pick you up whenever. You may as well just come out and say that then.
That's what it feels like. I'm like my on my bus anyways. but anyways, get it right. For Christ's sake, it's saying that garbage that you're saying that people were having to get used to it. Change it. If you don't like it, change it. Because if replay is there for a specific reason. Anyway, I'm now really getting off topic because I know we're talking about the game. But that was a huge part of the game because it easily could have been something that cost the Alouettes the game.
And just to make it clear, I mean, even if the shoe was on the other foot and it was Montreal that scored in this fashion, I'd be just as vocal about this as well, because at the end of the day, it comes down to, like you said, transparency, following the rules. And just, again, the whole point of video replay is to eliminate any sort of guesswork in any of these calls. And I'd be the first person to say, you know what? Nope, that was not a touchdown. Simple as that. And for whatever reason, to award this, and then for, like I said, the head of officiating to sort of double down on making these types of calls is ridiculous, quite frankly. And again, for a league that is trying so hard to better itself, to become this innovative sort of force in sports, and you can't even get these simple calls right, and then you sort of try to backpedal and justify your own lousy decisions, it's unfortunate, really. I mean, like, do better. That's all I got to say. I mean, I understand it's the first game of the year. You still got another 17 to go. But my word, I mean, like, that's the whole point of the CFL Command Center, is to eliminate such mistakes. Then eliminate them. That's all there is to it.
Mm-hmm. No, I know. Hopefully, you know, we don't need to start turning into an NHL where we've seen them blow many a call. PK's offside. Offside in the playoffs. There's a good example that I'll give. But at least they explain them. You know what? I mean, if they make a mistake, admit it. Just admit you made the damn mistake. That's all I got to say. So the second half itself, so after that, so the Alouettes go down. They're down 10-7 heading into the third quarter. But it again, the second half was better. There was a little bit more scoring. There wasn't much, but there was a little bit more scoring in the second half. And you know, even though the Alouettes won on a wide field goal, and I think it's funny, a lot of, who is it that said that it was the football gods that were smiling upon the Alouettes on Thursday?
That was actually Darian Durant.
It was Durant who said that.
Yeah, he was understandably, I think the emotions got a little bit to him, because, again, he was playing essentially the team that he'd battled with for the better part of a decade, but at the same time also battling a coach, his former coach, that pretty much cast him aside, didn't think that he was good enough to lead his football team, mm-hmm. especially after everything that Darian has given of himself to the Saskatchewan Roughriders organization, for Chris Jones just to sort of dismiss him and just decide, nah, yeah, you're not that great a quarterback. For Darian, I think he kind of downplayed as much as he could the importance of this game, but I think deep down there must have been a little something in there, because that celebration at the end, like, you'd think you'd won the Grey Cup right there and then. That's how excited he was. Yeah. Like, to him, he slayed a dragon. Like, he exercised some demons with that one. And I think just to be able to kind of go to the Saskatchewan bench and just be like, yeah, in your face, guy, that, like I said, can't help but be excited and happy for Darian to feel that way, and just to get that win is so crucial. And again, you don't want to say that the first game of the regular season is a must-win game, but I think for Darian Durant, I think this was, for him, for all intents and purposes, a must-win game.
Yep. And when that ball went wide from Crepagna, obviously everybody was happy about it. It was we weren't sure, because and yes, it was game one. And to me, game one of the CFL is still an extension of. It still is technically an extension of preseason. I always call it, at least the first 1 or 2 weeks of the CFL season is still technically an extension of preseason. There are a lot of things that the Alouettes need to fix heading into the second game in a place where they have not won all that often, in Edmonton. I mean, they yardage wise, these teams are almost identical. You know, the only thing where the Owls were off kilter on this one was for first downs. You know, they had 9 less first downs than the Saskatchewan Roughriders did. Mm-hmm. Defense was a little bit more porous than what we're used to. And I think one of the biggest things, when I knew you weren't there and I was joking to my colleague, to my friend Chris, who sits next to me at the Owls games, that the reason why the special teams wasn't doing so well is because, you know, Kavis Reed decided to go ahead and become GM. but to me, I think the offense will come. I mean, you look, when you have Jackson and you have who else?
Oh, you got Nick Lewis. You got, again, BJ Cunningham, as we've already talked about. There's definitely some firepower on this team for sure. And Tyrell Sutton.
Yep. Underwood. Tyrell. Yeah. Tiquan Underwood.
Yep. Yeah. Like I said, there's some talent on this team. Don't kid yourself, folks.
No. I mean, do you agree with me? I mean, those are the two things that really hurt. I think offense, I think, will get better. I think what really needs to get better is defense and specifically special teams.
Well, defense had some shining moments. And honestly, there was a lot of times, though, that I felt that Kevin Glenn was just able to just march down the field at will. And you simply can't allow that. I don't know what the reasoning was behind it, but it took a little while for the defense to really get going as well. And it's funny because one thing I've always said is this team is still very much a defensive powerhouse. Mm-hmm. And if the offense isn't clicking, okay, that's going to take a little bit of time because by and large, it's still pretty new. Whereas the defense, there's still some veteran pieces that are in place and have been for several years now working underneath Noel Thorpe. And there's a couple of rookies and second year players now that they're just still kind of finding their form a little bit. So I understand it's going to take a little bit of time, but even take all that into consideration, again, this Montreal defense, by and large, should be a lot better than they were this past Thursday. It wasn't perfect, and eventually they got their act together, but yeah, there's a couple of times where I was just like, yeesh, this is not the defense I'm used to. And I'm very much of the opinion of you that the first regular season game is essentially a third preseason game. Like, they're still kind of working out the kinks, working out all the little bugs here and there. So I'm really hoping that by the time the team arrives in Edmonton, that they'll be a lot more cohesive and pretty well ready to go.
I think one of the most exciting plays besides the Cunningham touchdown was his end around, the 21-yard end around that he had. I thought he was going to go a little bit farther than he did, but that's the type of thing where you would think it usually would go to a Tyrell Sutton, but to go, you know, he's seems like they're keeping a lot of the same things that they wanted to do, you know, last year. They're not keeping everything the same, obviously, but it was enjoyable. It really was. I said, I'm just looking for some more positive things heading into the game versus Edmonton, and then heading when they come back home and they play BC. Mm-hmm. Post game, things that you saw that stood out from injuries to this week in we could call that an entire segment itself to this week in player releases, you know, transactions to others. How would you look at post game?
Oh my word, they kind of all over the place there. As far as post game itself, I mean, like I said, a lot of things really stood out. The big thing that really stood out for me, and I personally, I've got to give him a game ball for this one, is Jonathan Mincy. This kid was just absolutely outstanding. A second year player. He was the Alouettes rookie nominee last year for most outstanding rookie nominee.
Considering who he took over for.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for him to come out and play defensive back on this team and play as well as what he did, absolutely outstanding. He actually was matched up against Deron Carter, former Alouette, for this game, and shut him right down. Only two catches for Deron for 12 yards. That's not Deron Carter numbers right there, folks. Nope. So I'm sorry, but to be able to post that against a superstar like Deron Carter, you better be friggin' good. And let me tell you, Jonathan Mincy, this kid is for real. Also had an absolutely beautiful, beautiful interception in the fourth quarter against Kevin Glenn. Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, Kev was trying, I think, a little too hard to make something happen. And I tell you, Mincy read him like a book and was able to just snatch the ball out of the air. Absolutely beautiful. And just, it was one of those like knife to the heart kind of things for Saskatchewan as they're trying to put points on the board, trying to play catch up to Montreal. It was just one of those things that, yeah, you can march down the field all you want. You can get first down after first down, and that's all well and good. But at the end of the day, you still got to be able to score the ball. You still got to put points on the board. And as long as you're throwing interceptions, you're not putting points on the board. So Jonathan Mincy, you definitely get the Alouettes Flight Deck game ball for your outstanding performance this past Thursday.
Yes, yeah, for sure. I mean, as I said, everybody was questioning last year when he was basically inserted for longtime vet Billy Parker. He's done enough on the off season when he looked well. He looked really good. So we'll see what happens game two. Transactions. We had one of your a guy that you felt that was going to be a very good wide receiver with the team. He actually got released by the team this week, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Alex Charette, who was the fourth round draft pick in 2015. I thought the world of this kid because just really an outstanding player, had a great rookie season. Was kind of befelled by injuries a little bit last year and just really couldn't crack the roster. And this year was no exception. Unfortunately, once again, just like with Sam Giguere, got banged up in training camp, hurt his hamstring, and just hasn't really seen the field since. So unfortunately, teams decided to move on from him. Definitely wish him well. Like I said, I still think he's an absolutely phenomenal player, so I'm hoping that he gets well and if he can catch on somewhere else. Anyone who's looking for a good young national receiver, hit up Alex, because I mean, tell you, this when he's at 100%, he's a phenomenal talent, and I really hope that, like I said, I wish him well. I really hope that he catches on somewhere else, or maybe even returns to Montreal one day. You never know with this the Canadian Football League. Here today, gone tomorrow, and sometimes you're back at it. So, mm-hmm. Like I said, all the best to Alex. Wish him all the best, and we're on to the next one.
What about injuries heading into week two?
The big one, and the one that I think really hurts, is Greg Henderson. Fractured his hand against Saskatchewan. Unfortunate, because now he's going to be out for several weeks now. Mm-hmm. And the timing of this was definitely not good, because both he and Jonathan Mincy, you also have Ramon Taylor also in that backfield, that these guys were just absolutely outstanding in the secondary. It took a while for them last year because they were all rookies. They all came in and they all kind of went through a trial by fire. But by the end of the year, absolutely outstanding. And I didn't see that stopping anytime soon. Henderson also had a couple of nice plays throughout the first game of the season against Saskatchewan.
He had the strip, no strip, strip, no strip, strip. That's not a strip. Right?
Yes, he did. That's correct. So he was able to recover a fumble and, like I said, was doing absolutely great defensively until just caught a bad break, no pun intended. So, like I said, it's just the timing, like I said, just definitely not good. But now it gives a chance for some of the others to sort of step up, if you will. But, yeah, both he and Mincy were absolutely phenomenal in the secondary. And Mincy, no worries about him. And Henderson, like I said, last year it was a little rough going for him at first, but he's won me over. I think he's an absolutely outstanding player, and I just hope this is what's the saying? A minor setback for a major comeback. That's what I'm hoping for Greg Henderson.
Also, because of what Jonathan Mincy did this past week, the CA Folk recognized him with one of their Player of the Week awards.
Mm-hmm. And putting him up there was some pretty outstanding company. The three nominees recognized players of the week for the CFL were Toronto Argonauts quarterback Ricky Ray, well deserved for his 500 plus passing yards. SJ Green, absolutely outstanding plays all day long. And Jonathan Mincy for his absolutely outstanding defensive plays. Mm-hmm. So once again, real recognized real in this league. And let me tell you, Jonathan Mincy, that's definitely a name to watch out for. And I think everybody else is now starting to sit up and take notice.
And now the big news, something that I didn't see coming. I don't know if it was really on your radar, if you'd heard anything coming through the grapevine or not. The Alouettes happened to pick up another quarterback, but it just wasn't necessarily one of these quarterbacks where, oh, well, we never heard him before. We're going to put him on our practice roster and we're going to see how he does. If we decide to go ahead and activate him, this was actually a CFL veteran quarterback who the Alouettes picked up. And with it, it really starts the process of the domino. Could the dominoes be falling for certain quarterbacks that are currently on the active roster? And we're talking about Drew Willey. That was a surprise to me. And I've seen some things so far, Cliff, where a lot of fans are saying, well, wait a minute, you bring in Drew Willey. First and foremost, where is he going to be on the depth chart? Now, I understand maybe not the first week he may be, if he is going to be a number two or a number three, because he will have to learn the system. But how is it? Where do you think that Willie's going to end up? And what is that going to mean for Vernon Adams Jr.?
One thing I'm absolutely surprised about is just how many people are so willing to write off Vernon Adams. Like, what the hell did this guy ever do to you people?
I know.
For crying out loud, he's not even 25. His best years are way ahead of him. And everybody, I will say, Adams is a bit of a slow starter when it comes to his games. We did see that, unfortunately, in both preseason matchups, as well as the last three games of the CFL season last season. which, by the way, he won. So this is why I'm still
I'm
still baffled by why people are just so willing to let him go. And I'm sorry, Drew Willey is not replacing Vernon Adams. If anything, if I'm the only quarterbacks you should really be worried are Jacory Harris and possibly Matthew Schultz. Mm-hmm. Because, again, Drew Willey, I mean, what you see with Drew Willey is what you're going to get. That's the one thing that I've been told time and time again from people that have seen him play on other teams and such. And put it this way, if Drew Willey was such a good quarterback, why did noted quarterback whisperer Mark Trestman decide that he couldn't do anything with him? That's what makes me kind of wonder. Mm-hmm. So, again, maybe it's the system. Maybe that's just the way it is. Sometimes players aren't a good fit with certain teams. And perhaps that's really what was the case with Drew Willey in Toronto, in which case then that trade to get him looks really, really bad for the Argos organization. But again, could Drew Willey resurrect his career here in Montreal? I suppose anything's possible. But I mean, at the end of the day, guy's 30 plus and quarterbacks don't tend to improve with age. You sort of know what you're getting, and that's about it. So I don't see this as anything more than a depth move, to be quite honest with you. Darren Durant gets hurt. I honestly truly still think it's going to be the Vernon Adams show 100%. I mean, you're not just going to stick Drew Willey in there, and all of a sudden he's going to become the next Joe Theismann. It doesn't work that way. Like you said, he's going to have to learn the system. He's going to have to learn how to handle this offense. And yes, Drew Willey was Darren Durant's backup when they won the Grey Cup in 2013. But lightning doesn't always strike twice in the same place, as far as I'm concerned. So, again, at the end of the day, it's a depth move. It's not a terrible move, but it's still not one I personally would have made. And I'm not trying to say anything disparaging towards Drew Willey. It's just the fact that, like I said, Drew Willey, what you see is what you get. It's not a bad thing. It's not a good thing. It's just there. And I haven't personally seen anything that would really make me say, oh my gosh, this is the guy. This could be the future. He could very well be, but I just don't see it happening personally myself. I really think this is just more of having a steady hand with CFL experience in the lineup, and that's about the long and short of it.
Yeah, I'm looking here when they picked up Willey, them letting go Charette, but they also let go of Michael Shartland, a local guy here from Concordia University. But yeah, I don't see any other changes at all. So they haven't made any changes that they have to make. That's what I'm saying. You know, no other quarterbacks. Then again, the Alouettes are well known for keeping way too many quarterbacks on their roster. But then again, that was a Jim Pop thing. And I am going to agree with you. It's just a move that the Alouettes did. I do think Vernon Adams will continue to be the second string quarterback for the Alouettes. Drew Willey will need some time to get used to the system. And, you know, down the line, it will be a handoff from Durant to Vernon Adams. And Vernon Adams will become a superstar in the CFL. Unfortunately, as we've seen in sometime here in the CFL, is that sure you can be on a roster for an X amount of years, but you don't always necessarily become that starter that everybody wants you to become. Usually because of you're not given the chance. So, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. And you know, we'll see what happens. I'm curious to see who they put on the practice roster, if anybody, or the release, if anybody. And you know, with them practicing only one, it's only once more this week. I think.
Yep.
I don't remember when they have to set their rosters for the CFL. I can't remember if is it the day before, or is it 48 hours before? I can't remember. I don't remember. Off the top of your head, do you remember?
I want to say it's at least 24 before, but it could be 48. I honestly don't remember myself either.
Okay. So yeah, I mean it's an interesting beginning for the Alouettes for the 2017 season. I think that's the best word to use. It's an interesting beginning. Tough matchup next week, heading to a place, Cliff, where the Alouettes really, really, in their history, have not done well. And I guess I don't know, something about going out west too. They really have not done well at all playing in Edmonton over the past 10 years. They are they're 4-6 the past 10 years, and they've lost their last three in Edmonton. So it's what do you see coming up? I mean, because obviously this is an Edmonton Eskimos team who did play a very good game this past week. What do the Owls need to do in order to beat this Eskimos franchise?
Big thing is the defense is going to have to step up. They've really got to get in Mike Riley's face and really try at least to hurt him, because the guy's tougher than a $2 steak, first and foremost. So it's going to be easier said than done. But you've got to really get in his kitchen, and you really got to disrupt his flow. You cannot let him dictate, because even when he gets down, he doesn't quit. Like, you saw what he did against BC.
The crazy guy, what a great ending. Crazy. By the way, you're calling him a $2 steak. Are you calling Mike Riley cheap?
No, he's tough.
Okay.
A $2 steak.
He's tough. He's a tough, cheap steak.
Perhaps not the best analogy, I suppose.
No, it's okay. I thought it was good anyways.
But no, like I said, Mike Riley, he knows how to win. The guy knows how to find his receivers. And you take a look at this young receiver, Brandon Zylstra, for the Eskimos. That's a kid cut out of the Ben Cahoon cloth and just an absolute playmaker. So, again, that's probably going to be Jonathan Mincy's assignment. And like I said, if you're able to shut down a Daron Carter, that's great. But let's hope you can also shut down this youngster as well, because he is absolutely dangerous.
For him, and also Dequil Williams, too. Williams had 110 reception yards also.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they got some firepower out in Edmonton. The one area where Montreal will also have to capitalize is on defense, because that defense for the Eskimos is taking quite a few hits now. I mean, losing J.C. Sherritt now for the season due to a ruptured Achilles. Mm-hmm. Oof, that's tough. And they were also dealing with injuries throughout camp as well. So, I mean, I'm not saying that they're weakened, the defense, but I think Montreal, like Darian Durant, is going to have to find a way to take advantage of these injuries, and just he's got to find his targets and just try to blow past everybody as much as he can.
Now, even with the Alouettes, the way that, you know, the scoring was last week, do you think the Alouettes again gave up on the running game too soon? Because you're looking at they're also going to have to deal with John White. The defense is going to have to deal with John White this week too. He ran for 104 yards and a touchdown. Did they give up too early again with Terrell Sutton?
I don't know if give up is the right word. I think,
you know, I'm curious to know, by the way, I should have checked too, is what when Darian Durant was QB, what was the percentage of runs versus rushes versus passing plays that they ran?
It's a good question. I know that Jacques Chaplin has been wanting to incorporate more of the running game into the attack. So I think, like I said, with this defense really taking a hit, I think it would be I wouldn't be surprised to see Sutton get a lot more carries as a result. I mean, one's going to take some of the pressure off Durant and throwing downfield, but also Sutton can move the ball as well. So it might be to their advantage to try and just, you know, just put that workhorse to use and just chip away and chip away and chip away at this weakened Edmonton Eskimos defense. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you've got nothing to lose at this point.
No, and his yards per average were pretty good. They were half decent. Once you get over a five, I think you're doing pretty well. And Sutton was averaging 5.2, I mean, on 13 carries. So White himself had 17, and he got 104 yards. So I know it's early. Again, I know it's early. But again, I think it's still a tough haul. You know, you're going out there. It's not as bad as I think. I know it's a late game-ish. Game starts at 10, I think, 10 Eastern.
10 Eastern, which means it's going to be 8 o'clock in Mountain Time. So that's going to be a little bit later than usual for them as well. So I don't know if that's going to make any difference or not, but it'll definitely be interesting. I'll definitely be curious to see how that works.
It's just a matter of I'm looking at what the last win for the Alouettes was back in 2013, and they scored 47 points.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh Nyswander was the quarterback, starting quarterback.
there's a blast from the past.
Yeah. So since then, you know, the Owls again.
Do you remember who the head coach of the Eskimos was during that time period?
What, in 2013?
Mm-hmm.
No.
I'll give you a hint. He's our current general manager.
That's what I thought. Okay, that's what I thought. You. That's what, when you went there, I was like, no. Okay. So it's, yeah. The Owls, yeah, they got to do something. I mean, overall, looking, I'm trying to check real quick to see if we can find a way. If there are any lines for this game, see if there's anything half decent that the. I'm not really working at the right site. We're only talking about wins. No, that's not what I wanted. I'm trying to find out what the line was this week. I don't see anything. Anyways, hopefully the Owls will get things going and we'll be able to make this a good game, because as I said, history really is not on their side when it comes to winning games over in Commonwealth. So it's kind of it's trying to get us back to it to 2-0. It would be nice to have the Owls actually two games above 500 for the first time in
a while.
fill in the blank. So it would be nice. It would be nice. So kind of thing. Anything else that we can talk about before we?
Well, actually, I'm happy to announce that the people have spoken. We did a little informal poll on the Alouettes Flight Deck Twitter account, because you were talking about how you do not want to have a blank jersey. No. So I said to our loyal listeners, let us know whose name and number should Tim get on his new Alouettes jersey. The people have spoken, and they have chosen Alouettes Flight Deck number 16.
Huh. Okay.
I think that'd be awesome, quite frankly.
I don't think it's, I mean, will it fit? It's
like, maybe not Alouettes Flight Deck itself, but maybe like we'll find some sort of variance to maybe like Al's FL deck or maybe Alouettes FL deck.
It's like trying to put Mark Gritzelenik's last name on the back of an Expo jersey.
Well, look, if they can put Luc Brodeur-Jourdain's name on a jersey, I'm pretty sure we can find a way.
Maybe the size of the font, maybe the different size font that they use for LBJ than everybody else.
Yeah, so as far as I'm concerned, I think we can make that happen. And I think it would look really, really cool. If they can do the at symbol as well.
That's what I was thinking, actually, putting the Twitter account. I was actually thinking about that.
So there you go. So, I mean, like, listen, people have spoken. Let's make that your jersey now.
Okay, and once I get the FundMe page up and running, I'll make sure I send out the link for everybody.
And again, if anyone wants to work out a sponsorship deal, pay for Tim's jersey and we'll show you some love on the flight deck. Like I said, we are open for business.
Yep. So I hope everybody stay tuned for our announcement for next week. I think it's a fitting partnership, and I'm very excited for it. Our first one. So I'm very excited for it. Do not forget that if you want to follow us on social media, there are multiple ways to do so. You can follow us on Twitter. That's Alouettes FL Deck. There is our Facebook page. That's Alouettes Flight Deck. There is we're not on Instagram. We are on Podbean, where you can listen to all of our past episodes. Are on iTunes or on Google Play Music. Good God, that's bad when I keep on forgetting those things. Did I forget anybody else? And email. If you want to email us, you can do so at alouettespodcast@gmail.com. So enjoy the game, Cliff.
As always.
Yeah, and we will talk to you guys next week, hopefully after an Alouettes win and a 2-0 start, but we'll take it as it comes. So for everybody here at the Alouettes Flight Deck, for Cliffy D, I'm Tim Capper. We're on Final Approach.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.